Thank you so much. Good morning, people of God. It's such a blessing to be among you this morning and in this season. My name is Ryan Martin. I am a professor of theology and biblical studies at the Bilingual University of Congo in Beni. But for these last few months, the Lord has called us unexpectedly to Goma. So I want to just thank all of you for welcoming us. And this has been a wonderful home for us during this time of displacement. I'm here with my wife, Aubrey, and my son, Micah. And we are very happy to be among you this morning. Today we are going to look at a passage where our Lord Jesus himself talks about the Bible, his Bible, which was the Old Testament, and how he relates to it. And I think we'll find it challenging on several levels, but I imagine that all of us here, we believe in the authority and importance of the Bible. I would imagine that all of us here, we believe that the Bible is true. We believe that the Bible is good. But I want to push you and say, is that enough? I think many people in the history of the church have taught incorrect and wrong things, trying to use the Bible. If you are a student of history, you know that evil men, bad politicians, have used the Bible to try to do terrible things. Isn't this true? So I want us to also ask the question, not only do we believe the Bible is true and good, but also how are we supposed to read the Bible? What are we supposed to do with it? How are we supposed to take this book and get truth from it? I believe the Lord has some words for us about that today. Now, I like Beni a lot. I love the city of Beni. But Goma is growing on me. I'm beginning to like Goma. And one of the things that I really like about Goma is the restaurants. And my favorite restaurant here so far is called Magali Club. Have you all been to Magali Club? I love Magali Club. And I love that there are so many choices. You go up and you have so many different options, right? I take my plate and there's no right or wrong option, right? I can take sombe or I can take lenga lenga. It's my choice, right? I can take wali or ndizi. Nobody is going to come up to me and say, you're doing it wrong. I can take whatever I want. And there's so many options. And each one is its own self-contained, separate little box. And I can take what I want. If I see something I don't like, I can say, oh, I don't want that. I want this one instead. I'll take the sambaza. So I get to choose what I want, right? It's wonderful. We call this a buffet, right? It's a buffet. Well, at least in my context, and I think here too, a lot of us treat the Bible like a buffet. Like a bunch of separate little boxes where I can take what I want and leave what I don't want. And maybe for you, it's not so much that you think that some of the boxes are bad. Maybe you believe that the whole Bible is true and good. But still, you see it as these separate little boxes that I can take and use what I want and leave what I don't want. Well, that's not how the Bible works. And I think we know that. But I think that this text today is going to challenge us. Our Lord is going to talk about the law and the prophets. And if you're like me, when you are reading Leviticus, when you are reading Ezekiel, you run into things that you don't understand. You run into things that are difficult when you are reading the Bible. And I want to say first that that is okay. When you are reading the Bible and it challenges you and you say, I don't know what to do with this. I don't understand this. That is a good place to start. And it is a good thing for us to remember that our God is higher than we are and that we are not going to understand everything. And that wrestling, that struggle with the text is a good thing. But I want to talk a little bit about how we should approach that and how Jesus would call us to approach that. So let's read together from Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. And let us listen carefully. This is God's word. Our Lord says, Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Father, I pray that in this moment, that my words would fall to the ground and blow away and not be remembered anymore. But Father, may your words remain, and may they change us. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. As you may know, these words come from what we call the Sermon on the Mount. This is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And this is Jesus giving us a picture of his kingdom. If you want to know what is the kingdom of God like, the Gospels give us lots of parables that answer this question. But this is a great place to start. The Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is telling us the values of his kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the pure in heart. These are the values in the kingdom of God. This is what the kingdom of God is like. It's a new thing, right? It's this new reality, this new kingdom that Jesus is bringing, that Jesus has brought among us even today. But that brings a very important question, which is, how new is this? Is this something completely different? Imagine yourself a Jew listening to the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus is preaching. Your question might be, you know, I live the law and the prophets. This is my way of life. God has given me, as a Jew, the law, and this is how I am supposed to live before God. This is how I am supposed to honor him. This guy, Jesus, he is saying these new things. Is this something completely different? I don't know. Well, that's what Jesus is answering here. And this is what he says. This is verse 17. Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus is saying to these Jews, not only am I not against the law and the prophets, I am here to fulfill them. I am not disconnecting myself from the law and the prophets. I am connecting myself to them as their goal, as their end, as their fulfillment, right? These law and the prophets, they are talking about me. They are pointing to me. I want to look at that word fulfill. Jesus says he has come to fulfill the law and the prophets. What does that mean? What does it mean to fulfill a prophecy? I think the first thing that comes to our mind is specific predictions, right? We say, the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. The Messiah is going to be pierced. All of these specific things. And we say, Jesus fulfilled the prophecy. But what I want to suggest to you this morning is that there is something bigger than that. And much more important than that, when Jesus says he came to fulfill the law and the prophets. If it is only specific predictions that Jesus is fulfilling, then what do we do with the parts of the Old Testament, of Christian scripture and in the history of Christian theology? This idea that when God speaks, things happen. And that when God speaks, we can believe in him and we can trust him because we know that things will happen. That's what Jesus is calling our attention to here. The Lord has spoken and all of his promises will stay. Jesus is saying, I'm not leaving the law and the prophets. They intend to change the world and I am bringing that about. I am bringing in my new kingdom, my new reality. This is the way that the word of the Lord works. It goes forth and it changes things. We are waiting even now for the consummation, for the final moments where God's words will defeat evil for the last time, and we will be in new heavens and new earth with Him forever. All right, let's keep going. Verse 19, Jesus gets personal. He talks about the people who are listening to Him. He says, "Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Okay, I need to say something that is very important to me, and something that I hear my students and other people say a lot that makes me a little bit angry. So I hope that I can stay calm, okay? When Matthew, or when any of the evangelists, the gospel writers, say kingdom of God, or Matthew specifically says kingdom of heaven, he is not talking about dying and going to heaven, okay? When Matthew says kingdom of heaven, he is not talking about the place you go when you die, okay? Matthew is talking about this new reality on earth that Jesus is bringing. The kingdom when we pray the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come," that kingdom. Okay? Yes, we have great hope that when we die, we will go to be with the Lord. Amen? That's good. Okay? But that's not what Matthew is talking about when he says kingdom of heaven. This is very important, or otherwise we will misunderstand portions of the New Testament that otherwise are very encouraging to us. When Matthew says kingdom of heaven, he's talking about this new reality that Jesus is bringing, that we want to see take root here in Goma, in Congo. That's kingdom. The kingdom of God that is coming, that is taking over the earth, pushing back the enemy. That's the kingdom he is talking about. Okay, are y'all with me? Okay, this is very important. So what is Jesus saying here? He's saying that if we forget the law and the prophets, if we forget this big story that Jesus has come to fulfill, to bring to its closure, to bring to finality to, if we forget that, we're missing out on the kingdom of God coming here. Do you want to be a part of this big movement, this big thing that God is doing here on earth? Jesus is saying, then don't forget the law. See that as part of this story that you are now a part of. And I say you, meaning you sitting in this church today. Jesus' audience in this context, Jews, would have already understood themselves as part of this story. Or at least Jesus was helping them to. But even now, the story continues, and we're a part of it. God's kingdom is coming, right? Our belonging to this kingdom is the good news that we're talking about every Sunday here. It's what we have in Christ. It's the good news, this new reality that Jesus is bringing, where the old things are passing away and new things are coming. Like the Lord says through the prophet, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Have you not seen it?" This is the new thing that Jesus is talking about. All right, let's keep going. Verse 20. Jesus makes a surprising statement. He says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that even of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Can you imagine the people listening to Jesus? The scribes and Pharisees? Our righteousness must exceed theirs? Also fully human. Jesus, the Word of God, but also the one who obeys and fulfills the Word of God. Jesus, fully God, fully man. This is the only way that me and you have hope. That God Himself would come to save us. This is the righteousness that not even the scribes and Pharisees can bring about. This is righteousness that God Himself coming and calling us to Himself, uniting Himself to us, can fulfill. Jesus has done it. Jesus is making all things new all over the world. He is reconciling all things, including you and me, to Himself, to God. This is what Jesus means when He says He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Now let's go back to what I said about the Bible at the beginning. We said it's not a buffet. It is not Magali Club. That's not how we read the Bible. We don't get to take this part and leave this part. We don't get to just say, I'm just going to go back to this part over and over again. And it's not because we need to read the Bible from beginning to end every year or something like that. It's a story. The Bible is the story of God's interaction with His people, of God's mission to make all things new, that mission that He's called us to be a part of. And you don't get to just get your favorite parts over and over again. We need to see the story, the big picture. My son Micah has a Bible, a little storybook Bible that I love so much. It's called the Jesus Storybook Bible. And I've taken a portion of that to share with you today. I don't know if we can get that quote up on the screen. Yeah, this is it. The author Sally Lloyd-Jones writes this. She says, "No, the Bible isn't a book of rules or a book of heroes. The Bible is most of all a story. It's an adventure story about a young hero who comes from a far country to win back his lost treasure. It's a love story about a brave prince who leaves his palace, his throne, everything to rescue the ones he loves. It's like the most wonderful of fairy tales that has come true in real life. You see, the best thing about this story is it's true." So how should we read the Bible? Here's how I would answer that question. Whatever you are reading, if it's Genesis, Leviticus, a prophet, a narrative in the Old Testament, a gospel, a letter, whatever you are reading, read the whole story of the Bible through that passage. Whatever you are reading in the Bible, find the whole story of Jesus making all things new in that passage. Every time you read, look there. This is how Jesus tells us to read. Let's look to close, let's look at Luke chapter 24, verse 25. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he is walking with some people that are talking about him on the road to Emmaus, and he says to them, this is Luke chapter 24, verse 25, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Jesus says very plainly, the Bible is about me. The whole story, from Genesis to Revelation, is about me, says Jesus. I bring it all together. I make it all work. This is what the Bible calls the gospel, the good news, that Jesus is the Messiah and that He's the King of Kings. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of Abraham, the Son of David, that has come to keep all of the promises of God, to be the blessing to the nations that was promised. But He is also the King of Kings, who defeated death and reigns at the right hand of the Father until all of His enemies are destroyed and all things are made new. This is the way we read the Bible. And when we read the Bible this way, you find yourself in the Bible. Because the Lord, for some reason, has decided to use you and me to bring about His purposes. As His hands and feet, He has sent His Holy Spirit to fill us up and to send us out into the darkest places of this world, to bring the good news of Jesus, to be a part of this kingdom that is coming. So find yourself in this story. Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets, and that is the gospel. That's good news. Because Jesus did it for us, for you and me, who belong to Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word that changes us and challenges us. Father, I pray that You would show us how to be a part of this new creation, this new story that You have called us to be a part of. Fill us with Your Spirit and send us out as part of Your mission to make all things new. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.